From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we start this week with the ongoing presence of Federal Border Patrol and Immigration Enforcement agents in Illinois. In the past week, Border Patrol agents have been accused of detaining city employees, firing tear gas at crowds during raids, and pointing a gun at a state representative in his car. Meanwhile, in response to a question, top White House official Stephen Miller says Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and other state and local officials could be subject to arrest.
So if you engage in a criminal conspiracy to obstruct the enforcement of federal immigration laws or to unlawfully order your own police officers or your own officials to try to interfere with ICE officers or even to arrest ICE officers, you're engaged in criminal activity.
Meanwhile, the Trump administration has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to allow the deployment of National Guard troops to Chicago, which a lower court judge has blocked. Here to talk about what's been happening is Heather Sharon, senior political reporter for the Chicago PBS station WTTW. Heather, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Glad to be here, Brian.
And listeners, we're live for the first part of our program today. If you have questions about what's been happening or thoughts you'd like to share, don't wait. Only about 15 minutes. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Heather, baseline. What are you seeing and hearing from these communities where enforcement actions have been concentrated in the past few weeks?
Well, over the weekend and in the latter part of last week, we saw a significant expansion of what the Trump administration calls Operation Midway Blitz. Up until last week, the enforcement actions were concentrated on the south and the west sides of Chicago, which are home to a lot of Black and Latino Chicagoans. But on Friday, agents attempted to detain what we believe were several construction workers and other sort of workers, and that brought out a very significant response from residents of Lakeview, which, if people aren't familiar with Chicago, is blocks away from Wrigley Field and is one of the most affluent neighborhoods in the city, which is home to primarily white people. That pattern continued on Saturday when agents appeared to have attempted to detain a landscape worker in the Old Irving Park neighborhood on the northwest side of Chicago. The block where this happened, the houses go for easily $1 million. And again, the residents of that neighborhood turned out and protested the agents' actions. And in both cases, federal agents deployed tear gas as they left the area. Now,
when you say protested, are they throwing rocks? I mean, are they being violent? What do we understand about what that means?
No. Okay. No. Now, certainly there have been some reports in other days that these protesters have thrown things at federal agents. It's not clear that that sort of imperiled federal agents in any significant way. But at least in Lakeview and in Old Irving Park, according to the videos shared on social media, this is people who are protesting by yelling and by telling these agents to leave their neighborhoods, and sometimes, you know, not very nice language. But there was no indication that any of these people, both in Lakeview and Old Irving Park, were violent. Now, federal officials have said that earlier in the week in Little Village, agents deployed tear gas because there were fireworks. They said, quote unquote, commercial grade fireworks and rocks thrown at federal agents. Again, the videos of those incidents do not support that assertion. And at least one of the alder people who was on the scene, Alderman Sixto Lopez, who represents Pilsen, he told me that there was nothing along those lines before agents deployed tear gas.
All right. So, you know, agents are carrying out these enforcement actions. They're tear gassing crowds. You mentioned this group tear gassed in Little Village last week. How does that comport with what agents are supposed to be doing per these court orders that have been sought and obtained by activists and press and other groups in Illinois?
Yeah, I think that's the really crucial question that we'll be getting more information about during a highly anticipated court hearing tomorrow in front of U.S. District Court Judge Sarah Ellis. Ellis has ordered federal agents not to use crowd crowd control methods, including tear gas and pepper spray and pepper balls, unless agents face an imminent risk of harm and only after there have been two warnings to disperse. Now, the way it's supposed to work is that if a protest or something gets out of hand, federal agents are supposed to order people to leave the scene. If they refuse to do so, federal agents are then supposed to order them again to leave the scene and warn that crowd control measures are being prepared, such as tear gas. And then and only then can tear gas be deployed in compliance with this judge's order. None of the videos that I've seen that have been reported by my colleagues in the media clearly show those orders being given. Nevertheless, Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino was at least one of the officers who deployed tear gas in Little Village last week. He is due in front of Judge Ellis tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. At what we anticipate to be a hearing where Judge Ellis will ask him about the decisions that both he made and the agents under his command made to deploy tear gas now seven times in the city of Chicago since the start of October.
Yeah, and Greg Bovino is an interesting character. He was in Los Angeles when there was enforcement action there. I guess technically his title is like head of the El Centro Patrol Division for the Border Patrol, but he keeps being seen all over the country. He told CBS News, "The use of force that I've seen has been exemplary, the least amount of force necessary to accomplish the mission." He also said, quote, "If someone strays into a pepper ball, then that's on them. Don't protest and don't trespass." Can you say more about what his role has been in all of this?
Well, it's a really big question about exactly what role he is playing in, as I said, Operation Midway Blitz. During a hearing last week in front of Ellis, an official with the Border Patrol identified Bovino as the head of Operation Midway Blitz. But again, it's not been entirely clear sort of who is, you know, dictating the agents hour by hour, day by day duties. I anticipate we will hear more questions from the judge along those lines. And, you know, I think it's been really confusing for people to know here in Chicago that these are, by and large, Border Patrol agents that they are seeing sort of masked up in combat fatigues, carrying long military-style weapons, when Chicago, you know, is not on the border. And I think that there are a lot of questions, some raised by Governor J.B. Pritzker himself, about whether the Border Patrol even has the legal authority to be operating in Chicago. But again, the ability,
because the Border Patrol is supposed to operate within 100 miles of a border, right?
Correct. Yeah, last I checked, Chicago's a little bit out of that radius, even if you're thinking about the Canadian border. It's a little bit unclear, and that has made it difficult for judges like Judge Ellis and other judges to hold agents accountable for what they've been doing since September 8th of this year.
Let me remind listeners, it's the 21st show. We're talking about the latest on ICE and Border Patrol actions in Illinois with Heather Sharon, senior political reporter for Chicago PBS station WTTW. We've talked about, on our program, several elected officials have been working on the ground in response to all of this. Some of them have been targeted by agents because of that, including last week, State Representative Han Nguyen. What happened there?
Well, Representative Nguyen said that he was performing essentially what has become an increasingly important part of state representative and alder people and other kinds of elected officials' day-to-day duties. He has been going around, you know, his neighborhoods, and when they receive a report of the presence of ICE agents or Border Patrol agents, he has gone to that location and sounded the alarm so that anybody who might be concerned about being detained can leave the area or seek shelter elsewhere. And he said that's what he was doing when he was stopped by an armed agent who pointed a weapon at his head and made him fear for his life. Now, you know, Representative Nguyen is an interesting person in the state assembly, or I'm sorry, in the House. He is running for Congress in the 9th district, and he is a Vietnamese refugee. His family helped the American army in Vietnam and then, you know, sought essentially asylum in America. And he takes these issues very, very seriously. Now, I should say, federal officials told me that they stopped the state representative because he was interfering and impeding in their operations, and that they drew their weapon on him. They did not deny having done so, but they said that they were forced to sort of make an assessment as to whether he posed a threat to officers. Representative Wynn said that was completely false.
Yeah, well, and let me just note to listeners, we are scheduled to speak with Representative Wynn on the program later this week. So, okay, let's, and maybe this is something we should pause on, because there, this has been happening. So state representatives are in their cars, sometimes following around agents, warning people, honking. Other people honk horns. I've seen videos where it's sort of like a whistle-blowing network where somebody spots an agent, and then people start blowing whistles, and then the neighbors hear, and they come out and blow whistles, too. Is this legal? I mean, is this, in fact, as Stephen Miller had it in that clip at the beginning of the program, is this like interfering with a federal enforcement action? I mean, what have we seen sort of in terms of answering that question?
Under the First Amendment to the Constitution, protest of government agents' actions is legal. Now, what people are in fact not allowed to do is, of course, you know, strike agents or otherwise interfere with them carrying out their lawful orders. So officials are very confident they are well within their rights to be sort of trailing these agents and sounding the alarm. This is not a new approach to people advocating for the rights of undocumented immigrants in Chicago. It is just simply more prominent. You know, we have had groups in Chicago that have worked for decades to alert people of perhaps uncertain citizenship status, that folks were coming, and given them a chance to seek shelter or sanctuary. There was a very famous case of a woman who sought sanctuary in a Chicago church and was there for a long time, essentially to avoid being deported. So this is something that has certainly sort of grown in size and scope, but this is a tried and true method to keep Chicagoans who, in many cases, have been here, you know, for decades, have no criminal record, are, you know, otherwise law-abiding citizens, but perhaps do not have legal permission to have entered the country sometimes decades ago.
Just a few minutes left in our time together. I mentioned at the beginning of this that the Trump administration is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene and let it deploy National Guard troops from Illinois and Texas into Chicago. How is that affecting how the Chicago District Court, the local federal court, has been handling this?
Well, we are all simply waiting to see what the Supreme Court is going to do. The issue before them has been fully briefed for a week, and at least until the Supreme Court acts, the order issued by U.S. District Court Judge April Perry that National Guard troops cannot be deployed in Illinois will stand. Now, what the Supreme Court is deciding whether to do is to overturn that stay. So if the Supreme Court acts saying that that stay was somehow improperly granted, the president could then order National Guard troops to deploy into Chicago. At the same time, the state's lawsuit challenging that deployment will continue, as is the case continuing in Oregon, which has not yet reached the Supreme Court, but still remains at the Ninth Circuit there in the Court of Appeals. It's a little bit more complicated and legally different than what's happening here in Illinois, but Illinois has honor of being the first National Guard deployment case to make it all the way up to the highest court in the land.
Honor. Interesting choice of words. Yeah. All right. So less than a minute left, and I'm going to have to hold you to it. Beyond the courts, Governor Pritzker reacted to the ongoing raids last week by signing an executive order forming what's called the Illinois Accountability Commission. Briefly, what is the intention there?
Well, the intention is to gather evidence of abuses by federal agents, perhaps pulling tear gas, perhaps doing other things that the state could then use at a future date to hold those agents and their supervisors accountable, presumably under another administration, perhaps a democratically led administration. But it is an indication that for now, the state's ability to check that behavior is significantly limited.
Yeah, the phrase truth and reconciliation keeps echoing through my mind. Yeah. Heather Sharon covers politics for the Chicago PBS station WTTW. Thank you so much for staying on top of this stuff and sharing your reporting with us.
I really appreciate you having me. Thanks, Brian.
More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Please stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from the Des Moines Arts Center, presenting Manuel Alvarez Bravo, a pioneer of Mexican photography, featuring collaborators like Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and more. On view through January 18th. More information at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.